Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Hello again. It's Ladies of Liverpool with me, Leanne Campbell. Thanks so much for tuning in once again this week. We've got a lovely lady of Liverpool who's going to tell her story, warts and all. We're going to find out about reality TV and what actually goes on. And believe me, you're going to be shocked. It's a fantastic listen this week. But more importantly, how you get yourself out of the worst situations. Now, this lady was faced with depression, I'd say, on some level. And her life changed into something she didn't recognise. So she decided to grab life by the throat, and she created a business that other people have copied, that earned her a fortune. And it is a dog hotel, a luxury dog hotel, with HD TVs in every single bedroom, and it's somewhere where you can send your dogs to live in luxury while you go off on your holiday. No more getting caged up in a kennel. No more kennels. Now allows you to send your dog on a holiday too. It's fantastic. It's going to blow your mind. Listen to this. It's Ladies of Liverpool with the lovely Rebecca Vaughan.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
This is a good cup of tea.
I do make a good cup of tea. Yeah. I really do. It's the basis of any good podcast, I think. We're settled with our cuppas and our coffees, and we're just chatting about this fabulous, I want to say invention, but it's the brainchild of you. I remember seeing it years and years and years and years ago, before anyone was doing it.
Yes.
And it's a dog hotel.
It is.
It takes a brave woman to step up and set up a hotel anyway for humans.
Yeah.
But to then bring animals into the mix, you are amazing. Tell us, how did it all start about Rebecca? What made you become the owner of a dog hotel?
It started from being stuck in a position where I couldn't go to work.
Okay.
I love my dog so much. And I was doing PR all over the country. Mm-hmm. So I was having to travel. And there was nothing back then. There was only kennels.
Yeah.
No one was doing home boarding or anything like that. So
your option at the time is to put your dog in a kennel.
Yeah.
I'm about to get a dog. I haven't got one yet.
I'm so excited.
I am excited. But I don't know any of these trials and tribulations you see that come with being a dog owner. So a kennel, did they just put them in the back garden in like a kennel?
So in those? It's very commercial.
Right.
It's built for the purpose of keeping dogs contained. So they're usually made out of like breeze block, because you have to have sections between each dog.
Yeah.
So they can't use like wood or nothing like that. So it has to be just for keeping a dog.
That sounds so
safe.
Sad.
It's really cold. It's sad. A lot of dogs, it sounds unbelievable, but they do die in kennels.
Really?
Yeah.
The stress?
They can
get
really
ill. They come from loving homes, don't they, and being treated like a little human.
Yeah, but even the drop in temperature. So never mind like the emotional side of it, which is why No More Kennels was born. But the physical side of it has affected dogs really badly. And a lot of dogs that maybe have been rescued think they've been abandoned again.
Oh, don't.
Because it's exactly the same, you know, as what they've come from.
Yeah.
They think that they've just been left.
Oh, Rebecca, literally minutes into the podcast, you've opened my eyes to a whole new scenario. I'm thinking, oh, it's cuter. They get little dogs in little beds in Rebecca's thing.
It does affect them. It truly does. Because we think they understand. And I do think they understand a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can't go, listen, mum and dad are going to Florida. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Don't worry.
They don't know you're coming back.
They've got no idea.
Oh, my heart's breaking.
It is actually heartbreaking. People think I'm insane.
No.
But it is heartbreaking.
And that was you. You were going about doing your gigs.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you were on Big Brother.
I was.
That's how you said, tell me all about Big Brother and we'll come back to this.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I would never recommend Big Brother. I have to be dead honest.
And here starteth the interview.
Ladies of Liverpool.
The journey begins. You can apply to be on Big Brother.
Yes.
I imagine your mates go, Rebecca, you'll be brilliant. Get on it.
Oh my God. Everyone was like, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Apart from my mum.
Right.
My mum was like, if you do that, I'll never speak to you again. I know. My mum was really upset.
Yeah.
But you believe the hype. Back when I done it, it was big.
What series was it you did again, Rebecca?
Right. It was 2011, mm-hmm. which was Big Brother 12.
Right, yeah.
So it was when Pamela Anderson was in the house with me.
Wow.
And that was before I agreed to go on it, there was loads of speculation that she was going to do mm-hmm. it. And because I'd done like loads of glamour modelling and everything, she was my idol.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
that was sort of what edged you in towards
Definitely.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, and I say this to everyone, from the day I come out, I wish I'd never, ever done it.
It was that bad?
It was horrendous. I cry. I'm the only person who's ever cried going into Big Brother.
So the build-up was bad as well?
Well, yeah, because people don't know. You go into hiding for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and you are living with a chaperone. You have your phones taken off. You're not allowed to say goodbye to your family or nothing. I turned up at Euston Station. They said, how many phones have you got? And I said, 2.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, right, okay, give them to us. And I was like, well, hang on, I'm so close to my sisters.
Yeah.
I said, can I just say goodbye to my sisters? They're like, no, that's it now. You're not supposed to have told anyone. You're coming here. Like, no.
So you're on the missing list from that
yeah.
point?
But obviously, I'd said to my sisters,
yeah.
listen, I'm going to London, I'm going to meet them. So that was fine.
Yeah.
And I think they expect that otherwise. People would be phoning the police.
That's exactly, you'd all be reported, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So you're on the train, you're on the yeah. way to London, you've got no phone, no way of contacting anyone. What no. happens from that?
You're given a password. My password was popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell you what to look for. You're looking for 2 people in a Where's Wally scarf and hat.
It sounds
it's so
absolutely
bizarre.
Bonkers.
It
yeah.
already wrecks your head before you get there.
Yeah. And this is all part of the manipulation,
it
isn't
is.
It? And taking
yes,
away any control.
It truly is. And it already makes you think this is going to be really fun.
Yeah.
And it isn't fun at
no.
all. But you get lost in the 2 people are going to be there in these crazy scarves. And when you see them, they're going to say a password to you. And you're like, oh my God, it's like a little mission.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But the truth is, you're going away for 2 weeks. You're going to live in this cottage with someone who you have nothing in common with at all. You're not allowed any media. You're not allowed to watch TV. You're not allowed to buy magazines. If you do leave the cottage, you're not allowed to go anywhere where you might see the front pages of anything.
Yeah.
So you're very secluded. You then have 2 weeks literally in your own head.
So paranoia's got to set in there
yeah,
massively.
Definitely.
I know when I've left my phone in the house and I get to work and it's not here. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do for the next 4
yeah.
hours?
Yeah.
No one follow up. Well, I'm going home to get it. But what's happened? What's
exactly.
gone on your social media account? Has anyone yeah. texted? Is someone sick? Is someone in the hospital? Everything
yeah.
goes through your head.
Yeah.
So you're there. You're worried sick. You don't know what's going on.
Nope.
And then you enter the Big Brother house.
Yeah. So the way the studio is set up, you have to travel to the studio in like a little golf cart.
Oh, yeah.
So you're all in separate rooms and you all have to have speakers on.
Okay.
So you can't hear because it's outside.
Mm-hmm.
They play everyone's like intro, even the little video
yeah.
before they go in. But I had put my earphone to the side so I could hear what everyone was saying before they went in.
Yeah.
So the girl who went in before me, who was Heaven Africa, had said, hate bimbos, hate blondes, hate girls with false lashes, hate girls who do their nails, you know, fake tan girls, hate girls who, you know, just rely on their looks, hate basically everything that I'd put in my video about loving being glam, as
yeah.
our scousers are,
yeah,
is what she hated.
Aww.
And then I go in straight after her.
Purposely, and that's what makes great
exactly.
telly, isn't it? But I can imagine you sitting there in your little golf buggy going, I'm like a lamb to the slaughter.
Literally, I was like, right, so this is who I'm going to have murder with.
Yeah.
So in a way, I was annoyed at myself because I didn't go in like maybe most other people, fresh, you know, kind of opinions of people because
yeah.
I'd heard the intros.
Yes, okay.
So I knew who was supposed to be the guy who was going to get all the girls. I knew.
Yes.
So I'd ruined it for myself a little bit.
But, you know, forewarned is forearmed, if that's the
no,
saying.
Because I just looked like I was having murder with everyone.
But there was a reason behind it.
Yeah, because I knew, you know.
Yeah, you knew what their intentions were and
exactly.
you were knocking them down a peg or
yeah.
two. So you first start running into people at what point? Night one.
Oh my God, literally night one.
What happened? Can you remember how
well,
it all started?
Pamela Anderson, I don't know if I can say it, but SLAG.
You can say anything you like
can
on
I?
This,
okay,
babe.
Well,
yeah.
I called her a slag. I love Pamela, right? And it was
to her face?
No,
okay.
No. But obviously she was going to see it. And I made a few jokes like, Carmen Electra's way better anyway. But, right, let me explain.
Go on.
So, back then, it was a saying, anyone who was, like, it was like banter. It's so hard to explain. So, like, say you had like a bit of a rival, but it was like a jokey rival. You were like, the slag.
Yeah, okay.
It was never meant as in the word slag.
It was part of your vocab at the time. It was just like
it was
something.
Just a joke.
Yeah.
I worked with loads of women.
Yeah.
And say one girl got a job that we never got, we'd be like, the slag. But it was a joke. It was never, ever like the way I'd done it as well. It's like I was deep throating a banana. Do you know what I mean? I was eating a banana and I was like,
I haven't seen any of this footage. And in my head, I'm just seeing this whirlwind of a woman going in, kicking off, deep throating bananas, calling people slags. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to defend this, Rebecca. I'm sitting here going, I don't know what to say.
Leanne,
for the first time in podcast history, I'm speechless.
I own it. I literally, this is on my first night, I went from crying because I'm not going to see my sisters to going, she's a slag.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Do you think on some level you wanted to get booted out? Because that's what I'm taking now. As a mum, I'm thinking this young girl has gone in there. She's done everything wrong in the first episode. Did she just want to come home?
I knew I was going home.
Okay.
Which surprised me that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, right, I've gone in here. I was working at Spearmint Rhino at the time.
Right, okay. Is that a lap dancing place?
It is, yeah, in Birmingham.
There was a programme about that on the telly, I think I watched.
Ah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I was working at Spearmint Rhino. I'd gone in, listening to this woman before me going, I hate everything about me she hated.
Right.
So I thought, women don't like me. Mm-hmm. Women aren't going to get me. Women are potentially not going to see my reasons for the job I do.
Yeah.
They're not going to understand why I've done Big Brother.
And the difference between then and now with that is huge.
Oh, massive.
Isn't it now? Yeah. You wouldn't feel half of that.
Absolutely not. We're going back 10 years.
It was so different, yeah.
Back then, it was still something that potentially I was quite ashamed of.
Right, okay.
Now I'm like, well, hang on a second. I bought a 6-bedroom house.
Yeah.
I was driving a Maserati. You know, I was paying my bills. I was if my friends needed anything, they come to me. My family, anything. Mm-hmm. I, looking back then, was in such a strong position.
Yeah,
but back then I was probably racked with shame.
Oh, and does that come from? Was it your mum's view on things? Or was
definitely.
It,
my mum was really upset.
Mm.
And
because I thought if she didn't want you going in Big Brother, she definitely doesn't want you throw yourself around a pole.
Absolutely not. My mum's old school. We grew up in the Dingle. Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Senior Rebecca, you know, on the front of the Daily Star.
We're now with, like, you know, what's that programme where they're all on the...
Love Island.
Love Island.
There was nothing like that.
No. Love Island now, you had those Ibiza weekenders, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was all like, who was going with who, and...
There was nothing,
nothing like that. Yeah.
No one had even really had a little smooch on telly.
No.
Whereas now, like Geordie Shore, like people are weeing themselves in bed and they're having all sorts of like orgies.
If you'd have known, fast forward 10 years...
Yeah.
What I'm doing is pretty meek and mild.
Literally.
And earning a great living.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was something back then that you should be embarrassed about. And I was.
Oh.
So I just put up this wall.
Yeah.
I just tried to come across as like this hard-faced cow who didn't care what anyone thought.
Yeah.
But in reality, they were taking me in to see the psychologist because I was just sleeping all day. Like my body just shut down with the stress.
Depression, isn't
it? Yeah. I just went to bed all day, stopped mixing with a lot of the people in there.
Yeah.
Just kind of had one friend, which they kind of played on as like a bit of a romance, but he was like 10 years younger than me. So that played into their hands as like this man-eater. That's what they played when they come out, man-eater.
Which you're just not, are you, in any
so
way,
rubbish.
Shape or form? Come on. So how long were you in the Big Brother house for?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's the longest 2 weeks of your life by the sounds of it.
I thought £40 a day, not worth it. Get me home.
And you were on great money back home, do you know what I mean? It's not like you were... So how did your life change when you came out? What went on? Did you earn a fortune when you came out?
Because
we're all led to believe they come out. They do PAs for like a grand a night.
Fellas do. probably not the guys on Big Brother, but definitely like, you know, Geordie Shore, the people from that, they made mega money because girls loved them. Girls wanted, they saw them as these Adonis men who literally they would sleep with.
Yeah.
No, you know, there's no judgment there and they would queue up to see them. Girls, not really got many PAs. I don't know if it's different now, but back then, the biggest PA I got was from Spearmint Rhino.
Right, okay.
They paid me $3,000 to go to Tottenham Court Road and do pictures and everything like that.
Yeah.
But there was no interest really from anyone else. But that was my fault. I didn't go to the final.
Oh, and why was that?
When I come out, the contract that they got me, you sign your contract when you're in the cottage. So you can't ask a solicitor, you can't ask your mum, you can't ask anyone. In the cottage, when you get the contract and you read through it, it's like that. It's massive. It's like an encyclopedia. It basically says that the people who run Big Brother, who also run Channel 5, run the Daily Star and all like the magazines back then, they get you to do all the interviews and all the pictures and everything like that. But you don't get paid for it. It's all part of like this one brand.
Yeah.
So when I come out of the house and I got told, right, oh my God, everyone loves you. You've got loads of interviews. They're calling you like the biggest bitch in Big Brother.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's play on that. That'll be fab. I had nobody going, well, actually, no, this isn't good for her.
Yeah.
Because it's all the one umbrella of people who lost viewers. So they put me back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left, the viewers went down, so they put me back in. But that was all, like, again, it was surrounded by, like, a date. So I went back in for a date and everything like that. And I thought, well, okay, I can't now go and do a normal job. I certainly can't go back to, like, Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah.
Because they've just paid me to do this. Like, the way Spearmint Rhino works is you pay them to work there.
Yeah, and they've just paid you.
They've just paid me. So what do I now do, phone up on Friday and go, can I have my shift, please?
Yeah.
It doesn't make
so
sense.
So where does that leave you?
Well,
all I'm thinking of is, like, people, these stories we're reading about people committing suicide, taking their own lives.
It's a very dark time because you can't go to the Asda because people are like, oh my God, can I have a picture?
And they've got an opinion of you, of whatever they've edited.
Yes.
To make look like you.
Yeah. But I went for a job interview. Because after I didn't go to the final, they said to me, you'll never be in any papers ever again. You'll never be in magazines. No one will be interested in you.
So that's why you didn't get much stuff afterwards, okay?
They said, we own this paper, that paper, the other paper. But I mentally was not, I couldn't go to the final. Like, for the way they'd edited me, and when I come out, what the housemates who come out after me had been tweeting at me, I didn't feel safe to go.
That must have been horrendous.
It was horrible.
Mm.
And I went for a job interview and they thought I was doing like this documentary for Channel 4 or 5 or something. They were like, where's all the cameras? And I was like, no one needs a job.
Yeah.
It was just like a sales job. And they was like, you can't, you're famous. Like, there's people wanting selfies with you. What are you? And I was like, no, seriously, no one needs a job.
So what do you do at that point?
I went to be cabin crew.
Right.
Because I thought, that's still a little bit glam.
Yes.
I could get away with saying, well, actually, I love doing cabin crew stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I love flying. I love going to countries. I've chosen this. It felt like it was the least failure, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Because cabin crew, they work really hard. They don't earn a lot of money, but it's the love of the job.
Yes, and I know a lot of people who are performers, dancers, who've got to a certain age and they just, the work's dried up and they go to work for British Airways or Virgin or Emirates.
Yeah, it is natural to go into that.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that worked for me at that time because when people did take the piss out of me on flights, they were like, you know, aren't you that girl off the telly?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I love flying.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I get to stop off here now, you know, like for 2 days now and I get to do this and I get.
Yeah.
And it was, again, another act that I was able to kind of put out there.
Yeah.
But.
And the root of this all I'm hearing is it's fear and and threats from other people and.
Social media.
Loss of identity.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd spent my whole life being someone else. My name was Candy.
Yeah. When you were at Rhino. Yes.
So I spent my whole life, literally from 17, I think I was when I went in the Big Brother house. No, I must have been younger. I must have been 26. Yeah, 26 when I went in the Big Brother house. I spent 10 years being someone else.
Yeah.
Then in the Big Brother house was someone else again. Then when I've come out, can't be myself because that's not what is expected of me.
Yes.
So I'm trying to be someone else again. And all through this, I'm just like, none of this is what I want to do. But I've got this big mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like this, it's not standard. You know, I grew up on a council estate. It's not that at all.
Yeah.
But it is fear of failure. Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
I had to make a decision to go, no, do something you love and be skint.
Yeah.
Or keep chasing like this fake life that's mm-hmm. worthless and was making me ill.
Right.
Made me so unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, right, I'm just going to my little dogs in my house
yeah.
and pay my bills.
So how did you go about setting up? Because like I say, they weren't about.
No.
Where did you get the idea?
From then thinking, well, hang on a second. If I go to work all day, who's going to mind my dogs? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Looked about. There was no home boarders even back then. No one done anything. So put an ad on Gumtree.
Yeah.
And back then I had a Chinese crested powder puff, Papillon and a Chihuahua. So they're all little tiny dogs. And I said, I'll look after your little dogs. Only going up to like King Charles size
yeah.
in my home. I love dogs. You're welcome to come and see my house. I'd send you loads of pictures and yeah. stuff like that. We never had FaceTime back then.
So it was just, I'll just send you a little message during yeah. the day to show you your dog's happy and yeah. everything's fine.
And it went insane. Within a week, people were trying to book for like the next summer because no one had done that.
Yeah.
And some people were a bit like, this is weird. You know, what are you going to do to my dogs in your house?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, listen, come to my house. Come and have a chat with me.
Yeah.
I just love dogs.
So did you have to buy a new property or did you do it all in the house you were in?
No, done it all in the house that I was in. I had to take in lodgers
mm-hmm.
because this was like kind of before I went bankrupt, I had the idea and I thought I could keep my house by doing it,
yeah.
but I couldn't.
Right.
So I had a couple of lodgers who loved dogs and everything like
yeah.
that. So it was still the six bedroom house and it still had three floors. So people, although they didn't know the financial issues behind what was happening,
yeah.
they still thought, oh, it was on the Wirral. It was a lovely house.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, this is really nice. Yeah.
yeah.
Massive big back garden.
Yeah.
So for them, they thought this is all, you know, lovely. And it was lovely.
There's still a lot of stress going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But with most businesses, that's the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Glossy and lovely on the yeah. front. You
yeah.
in a mound of paperwork of a night crying into a
Literally,
bottle of wine.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I feel that. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, back then, home boarders didn't even need a license.
Yeah.
But because of the way I had my lodgers, you know, rent different rooms and stuff like that, I was limited with the amount of dogs.
Mm.
I'd lost my house by then and I was just renting. So I couldn't do it in a rented property.
Yes.
And I sat down and thought, it can't be kennels.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do? So I went and looked at different houses that I could rent with land. But all the landlords were like, hang on a minute, you're going to have, what, 20 dogs here?
Yeah.
No,
not
absolutely
a chance.
Not.
Yeah.
So then because no one had done it, I couldn't copy anyone. Like, loads of people have copied me now.
Yeah.
But I couldn't copy anyone. So I just had to think, well, what can I do? So I found these two old warehouses and I thought, it doesn't matter what the shell looks like. I can build inside.
Yeah.
I can make like little suites.
Mm-hmm.
I can make it inside, still not kennels.
Yeah.
But it's not in a house.
Yeah.
So my house is separate. This is work. And it was like, come on, Rebecca, get your business head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to make this work because what are you going to do? You're too old for spearmint. You're obviously never going
to
be famous.
No one wants to see this round a pole
no,
anymore.
No
what
way.
Am I going to do?
Literally.
So where did it all go from that point?
So luckily, my partner at the time had savings. And convincing him I wasn't insane
mm-hmm.
was the hardest part.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because he had literally saved from when he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
This was his whole life savings. And I was like, let's make a dog hotel.
Give me your money.
Literally.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So I had the ideas. He had the money. And it was a case of us coming together, but not by way of trust.
Right. A proper business agreement.
Proper business agreement that was, okay, you know, I've not got any money.
Yeah.
You've got money. This is what I think we can achieve.
So essentially, invest in my business.
Yeah.
And it will, you know, and pay you back.
Yeah. I think he didn't believe me. I'll be honest with you. I think he thought it was all a bit crazy. He got a lot of advice from different people who were like, no, mate, don't do it. You know, this isn't...
Don't mix business with pleasure, as they say, yeah.
I was always going to get my own way. He's in love with me. Of course I was. but I done the right thing by him. For the first year, everything was in his name, the whole business, everything. Now he's probably earned 10 times his investment.
Yeah.
And it's all in my name now. You know, I've bought him out.
Love it. I've just about to say, I hope you've swapped deeds and
definitely.
Signatures are on your side now.
Yeah.
Love it. And you're still together?
Still together.
Lovely. And so you live on the grounds. So where is it? Where is this place?
It's near Fiddler's Ferry.
Yeah?
Yeah. So in the middle of Widnes, in the middle of Warrington.
Yeah. And what does the property look like? Give us a visual.
The weirdest thing. It, from the outside, we've tried to make it look nice with like little plant pots and like look like a little lodge, but it's two warehouses.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get away from that. We've got like doggy wallpaper. When you first come into reception, we've got like aromatherapy oils that you have in the spa.
So hang on, these dogs can get massages and stuff.
Yeah.
What else? Now you've got me going.
They have like a pedicure, it's called. So we've got like little bath bombs and they have a little bath and a relax.
And can they get like the haircut and stuff while they're there?
Yeah, yeah, they get groomed.
There's a full-on spa. There's a salon.
Yeah. Literally, whatever you wish. We've just had Hacker, you know, from CBBC.
Yes.
The dog. He come yesterday as a guest. And his day was, he arrived, when we do a check-in, we literally ask everything. I've heard of different places where you just drop your dog off, that's it. We need to know everything. If your dog has not had its annual booster, can't come.
Yeah.
Safety is our number one priority. We turn away probably 30% of our dogs. We're not about money. It's all about safety. It's all about being a responsible dog owner so that all the other dogs that come to us are safe as well. You then go to your bedroom. I'm speaking to you like you're a dog. You go to your suite and you put straight in your suite because a lot of people bring little belongings.
Yeah.
So you get used to that's your bedroom and that doesn't change for the whole stay. We'll put the TV on. We'll tuck them in. And then we literally log everything that happens in that room.
Yeah.
So even if we change the water, it's logged because customers want to know when they pick their dog up. They want to know for every minute of their stay what they've done.
It's similar to when I've dropped the kids off at nursery and you get your little form when you pick them up. They had a poo at this time. We've changed them at that time. They had half a piece of toast.
My phone is just full of pictures of poo.
Just to give to the owners.
Yeah, because if it looks a bit funky, you've got to say, listen, I'm not sure about this poo. So you might want to go to the vet.
How many dogs under your roof do you have at one time now?
We're licensed for 75.
What? 75 dogs. That's amazing.
It's insane. We are the only hotel that has 5 stars from Warrington Borough Council.
Brilliant.
Which is amazing.
Oh, well done you.
Thank you.
What a lovely ending to a story. You definitely should have some kind of autobiography. I don't know if you have already, but you should get on that. That's your homework.
God. Yeah. Do you know what? I should, but I don't know where to start.
I know.
So much has happened.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't even know where to start.
Well, you've done amazing things. Well done to you. Bravo to you. And for those dog owners right now who want somewhere lovely to drop their dogs, maybe you've just booked your holiday for next year or for the summer and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this dog? And you want somewhere where you know they're going to be safe. Tell us again, how do we find you? Where's No More Kennels?
Just go onto our website, www.nomorekennels.co.uk, or search us on Facebook. Facebook is probably easier, and you'll see all the videos. Every day we upload all the videos of the dogs having fun, so you'll be able to see us on there.
Lovely. Say hello to her. Go and find her on Facebook. Give her a wave. Tell her you listen to the podcast, and make sure you check your doggies in soon. Rebecca, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.